You're called to lead a nation, but your foundation as a leader has to be firmly rooted and grounded in the Word of God.
We have a huge, huge heart for seeing leaders raised up and going into every realm of society.
People don't follow leaders who have it all together. They follow leaders who are real.
As a leader, when you think of servanthood, it's not something you grow out of. It's something that hopefully you would grow in.
If leadership is influence, everybody has influence. What are you doing with the influence you currently have?
As a leader, you're more anointed and more equipped to do what you're called to do when you are just being yourself.
At the end of my life, I don't want to look back and think, I didn't really do anything that required faith.
Circumstances don't make or break you, they reveal you.
You can bear fruit on roots that aren't very deep, but it's not gonna last.
You are not called to lead a nation based on your feelings. You're called to lead a nation where Jesus says to go.
This is the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Welcome once again to everybody's absolute best time of the month, for sure, is when the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast comes out. Hashtag JCLP. I am Bane Leibscher, the director of Jesus Culture. I've decided to maybe put my title founder and director. So it feels like it's just got so much more.
Like JCLP founder?
No, Jesus Culture founder.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Should I put you? There we go. Hashtag JCLP founder.
Which you're not, because that.
You know what's funny is
The hashtag.
The hashtag.
Okay. On Facebook, uh-huh. You know, you have to put where you work. And because Jesus Culture is a band on Facebook, we never set it up as an organization at first. I say I work at Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. So
awesome.
I actually work at Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast. That's where I work. But I'm Banning, and I am here joined, as always, by some of my favorite people to the right. And let me just say, first of all, the guys are back.
And, the boys are back in town.
The boys are back in town. It was an uproar all over Twitter.
And as we introduced everyone, we had to make a serious power play because right now Becky is the only female on this episode.
There's only one in. So, but we did actually get phenomenal, phenomenal feedback about the ladies' podcast last time. So we got some really neat stuff. And actually, there's a bunch of, there's probably more tweets about phrases that came out of there. It was pretty good.
We're a hilarious bunch.
But joined as always is
Becky Johnson.
Who is?
Awesome. I don't want to be defined by titles.
And does.
I'm the communications director here at Jesus Culture.
Excellent. And
Zach Curry. I'm heading up the local church team here for our new JC Sacramento Church.
All around good guy. And brand new to the podcast, hosting with us this month.
Can we play the royal, like, Queen's music?
Yeah, what's there that? Needs to be, like, God Save the Queen, or there's actually some, there's got to be some
the
British
have
song
an
or something.
Anthem?
Yeah, God Save the Queen would work.
Okay, okay, or the Beatles, you know.
I wish I could.
There we go.
Or every other great band that's come to America in the last 30 years. But with us is one of our good friends, part of our team, who's heading up all things Jesus Culture in the UK, the director of Jesus Culture in the UK. With us today is?
Phil Smith.
Phil Smith.
It's good to be here.
It's great to have you, Phil. Now, let me say a little bit. Phil's in town for some stuff, but we wanted Phil on because, Phil, tell us a little bit about yourself, just briefly.
So, pastor of a church in Manchester, which is in North UK. Been on staff for about 15 years, lead the church with my wife for the last 5 years, loving changing our city, and been working with Jesus Culture for the last couple of years.
So, it's great to have you on. Phil's a pastor over there, and again, part of the Jesus Culture team and running all things over there, Jesus Culture. But one of the interesting things was Phil's in town, and I was glad he was here because we just got back from a tour. So we did a tour with Jesus Culture. We were in Malaysia, Singapore, Australia, and New Zealand. And what was interesting was every place we went to, people came up and said, hey, we love listening to podcasts.
Was it hordes of people?
Hordes of people, thousands. I mean, it was. I almost didn't get through some places in Singapore.
And mobbed in the airport.
I had to have security. But it was interesting, too. You know what they did say? They said, we're some of the 10s and 20s. They're like, we're one of the 52 people listening.
So you probably met every single podcast listener.
I met every single one. But what I realized was we do have, there's a lot of international people, as we knew, but there's a lot of international people listening. I did realize that our podcast is very American. It's very American. Like, it's all American sports, American this, American that. So today is our first step into really bringing the Leadership Podcast with an international flavor. So we brought our...
I'm I'm sorry. I'm half Mexican.
Yeah, okay. half Mexican. And you know what? Mexico is happy about that. Yeah. And they're glad that you're on. But so we're bringing in the token British guy today.
It's good. I mean, you use this foundational language of English, which is obviously where this podcast would not be here if it was not for
you,
our listen, country.
We've had this conversation. We've perfected the language.
You know, you make up words.
Wait. So I was just going to say, are you going to like use all kinds of like Bobby Crumpet Striddle Bumper, like all kinds of words?
Okay. Let's try something. Let's say Worcestershire. Let's try that.
I can't. That's
Let's try it. It's Worcestershire. It's a place in England.
Worcestershire. I can't.
Worcestershire.
You're trying to embarrass me on my own podcast. Is that what's happening right now?
That's
Is this
what's
like
happening.
Worcestershire sauce?
Here's what I want to know. When we first started going over to England and Australia and different places, I remember the take that they had on Americans. It was very like what I'll tell you a story. When I went into Australia one time, I went in and bought like a candy bar in a gas station, a little convenience mart. And then another one of our team was over buying something. So there's two people behind the counter. I did nothing. I walked up and said, hey, I'd like this you know, candy bar. And I paid and I walked out. And I leave and my friend's still in there. And here's the two workers behind the counter in Australia say, wouldn't it be great to be a loud American?
That's what
he said. And I'm like, I bought a candy bar. So here's what I kind of want to know. That's and I don't awesome. Want, this may open up some real.
We're going to get real here. We get real on the JCLP.
It's about being raw and vulnerable. What do Europeans really think about Americans? Like, you can be honest with us right now.
Well, it's a good question. As a British person, first and foremost, I have to be polite. So the reality is you're never going to get the real answer to that question.
We love them.
Yeah. But the reality is that America is a place full of wide open spaces that are full of teeth. And that is literally what we think. We think that Americans are allowed, big mouths. And this kind of podcast just proves exactly what we think.
Have you ever heard a British podcast? You can barely hear him.
That's true. It's very quiet and polite. Sorry to bother you.
I'm sorry to talk over you.
That is funny. We're in here yelling, and then he's like, yes, I do think you're very loud.
It's true, you are.
Well, listen, on a serious note, we have had an amazing time over in the UK, have a real heart for what God's doing over there, and really the nations of the earth we have a heart for. The UK, we've been going over. I've been going to England since 1995. But tell us what's going on over there as far as what you're doing. We're working on campuses and different things that you're doing.
Yeah, that's our primary focus at the moment. It's been developing Campus Awakening in the UK and looking at how we can really develop a new movement across university campuses to see students across the whole of the UK really take hold of their identity, begin to walk in that, and to see fundamentally their campuses impacted with the kingdom. And we're starting to see amazing things happening, not just in Manchester, but beyond. So yeah, it's really exciting.
It's incredible. Good things are happening.
That is a great transition to start talking about this month's topic. But before we do that, my favorite segment, Music Spotlight.
We want to share the music that is encouraging us right now. You are listening to the Jesus Culture Music Spotlight.
All right, well, we are here for one of our favorite segments, the Jesus Culture Music Spotlight. And we have with us on the phone, Carrie Job. Carrie, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks.
Thanks for taking the time to catch up with us. I know you have a really busy schedule. You mentioned you're actually about to head off to South America.
Yeah, I leave next week for South America, and I'm excited. It'll be fun.
Well, we've been listening to your newest project, Majestic, and I got to tell you, for me, like I've personally had just some moments with the Lord. I'm working in the office, and then just stop, and you know those times you just meet with God, and it's been just pretty incredible for me personally. I know a lot of our team and people I know are listening to it. Can you share a little bit about this specific project? I know there's some elements, like even where you filmed and kind of the journey of this project that was some dreams fulfilled and things that were pretty significant for you.
Yeah, well, I think it's cool to be talking with you guys a little bit, because over the years, I just always used Jesus Culture stuff before I go out and lead worship, and I've always thought, man, when I do a live project, I want to do it very similar to Jesus Culture, where because when I go out and do nights of worship, that's what it's like. It's just night. It's like it's night of ministry. It's a night. There's prophetic worship, not just song after song after song. And I didn't realize Jeremy Edwardson was, so connected with you guys until kind of towards the, you know, when I started working with him, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize y'all were connected. So it's been pretty, it was pretty amazing how the Lord just kind of connected that without me realizing it. And just pretty significant for me. But we recorded it in Dallas and recorded it at a really cool old theater that was built in like 1918. So it was just super nostalgic here in Texas, but also just like really beautiful. It's very majestic in and of itself. And I didn't plan on calling the album Majestic. I just wanted to record there. But then I finished a song with Tomlin and Redmond, and I was like, it's called How Majestic. And I just thought, okay, God, I think you're up to a theme here. I think you're making it pretty simply obvious what this album's supposed to be called. And but really that night just erupted. God just met with us in such a powerful way. And the people who came to help me, you know, sing these songs on this album just came so ready and so expectant to meet with God. And you can hear that in their, you know, their shouts and in the singing. We went back and listened just to the audience mics, and I was blown away. I'm like, these people hardly know these songs, and they're just singing at the top of their lungs. So it was amazing, amazing experience for me.
Well, tell me about the song Always Enough. That's the song that has been rocking me. There was a moment, like I said, where I was sitting in the office just working on some stuff. A lot of people had left, and just that line, it says, if I have you, I have everything, but without you, I have nothing. Like, and it was the part in the song where it just started going. I started crying in the office, just had a moment with the Lord. But what's the backstory of that song for you as you wrote that? Or
yeah.
What's the story behind it?
Well, I wrote with Jason Ingram and Reuben Morgan on that one. And it was kind of unfinished. We had to finish the bridge for it. So we were just worshiping. And when it came, like, Jason was just playing the guitar kind of real simple. And I just started humming that, or both of us actually really just kind of like landed on that melody line and those words pretty quickly. It was a very prophetic kind of a free worship moment just in the studio while we were working on it. And I remember thinking, whoa, I think that this is a really strong bridge. Just more than anything, just like an anthem for people. You could extract that from the song Always Enough and just do that with any other song, you know. But I love that part. I love that line.
Well, this podcast is targeted towards leaders, and we have leaders that are musicians and in the realm of not only the local church, but even broader areas influencing, but also in business and teachers and educators and across the board. And for you, you're a leader in the realm specifically of music and worship. What advice would you give to them as young leaders? We love to ask the leaders we interview, like, if you could give any advice to the leaders that are listening, what advice would you pass on or share with them?
You know, I love what we all get to do. We're all in this together. It's doing worship on a Sunday morning. Those that are doing that week in and week out at the same church on Sunday mornings or the weekday services and stuff, it can just get pretty tiring and kind of sometimes routine or monotonous. And I just always love to help us all remember that we fell in love with the presence of God somewhere along the way, or we wouldn't be leading worship. You know, it's just we love His presence, and we love that He shows up when we lift His name. And so I really feel like there's a season right now of just the Lord drawing us back to Himself to make sure that He's our first love, that we seek Him first, and then, you know, lead from an overflow of His presence, an overflow of what's going on in our personal time with Him, than the routine of, you know, getting stuck in trying to figure out what new songs we've got to be doing and how do we get our teams learning these songs. And, like, I think a lot of worship leaders can get pretty burnt out if they're not staying in love with His presence, you know. And it's so easy to do. I have to really guard, even in my own life, not being too busy to just spend a long time with the Lord. So I just would say that, just simplify even, like simplify the processes you're doing at church, or simplify, make room, make more room for His presence, not only in your personal life, but maybe even less songs on stage, so that His presence has space, Holy Spirit has space on the platform on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, that's so good. It's so good. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. If you haven't checked out Carrie's newest project, Majestic, you got to do it. You will be blessed. I have it on repeat in my office and my house all the time. We just can't thank you enough for taking the time to hang out with us, and just pray your upcoming trips are amazing, and it's so good to catch up with you.
Thanks so much.
Jesus Culture.
Well, I feel like every month I kind of say the same thing into this segment, which is, I'm really excited about this month's topic.
Best topic ever. Here we go.
And this is the best topic ever. But to be honest with you, we really do every time we try to bring something that's on our heart, something that we're excited about, something that's impacting us. And the topic for this month's podcast is Faith for Your City. And one of the things I felt the Lord really speak to me about was that He was going to release faith to people, the actual gift of faith to people for their city. In fact, the theme of our conferences this summer will be Faith for Your City, because I believe God, as He's raising up leaders, which is what this podcast is all about, we want leaders raised up. And it's not just leaders that stand behind a pulpit, but leaders in every realm of society. As He's raising up those leaders, that the Lord really wants to deposit in our heart faith and strategy to see cities healed and made whole. I really think the biblical mandate for us is to see restoration in cities, and to see the racial divide broken, to see marriages healed, economics, education, poverty eliminated, all that type of stuff is really what we're about. And ultimately, one of the reasons why I don't think that cities are going to be transformed just by leaders from behind the pulpit, that we've got to have them in every realm of society carrying the heart of God. So this month, this is what the topic is about. It's about faith for your city, and really believing God to restore, rebuild, heal cities.
Totally. And I think we hit this angle a lot. It's a leadership podcast, and we're challenging, you know, every one of you, every one of us, to lead wherever you're at. But really what we're even trying to hone in on and focus on this topic is just this thing of owning our city, and owning it not just with faith, but there's strategy, like you're talking about, Banning, but it gets really practical. And I think we redefine success to a certain degree. Like, obviously, we want people to encounter God. We want people saved. We want people healed. But to see the result of a city transform, for us to have faith that it can happen, we also have to change how we measure success and change our strategy. And so, like, it actually, to me, opens up a whole nother level of the professor in a class, the stay-at-home mom, wherever you're at, and at other places. When you own that piece, you bring a solution, and we begin to pray differently. We begin to value what it is we're going after and doing, and we begin to have a faith of not just, it's never going to change. We want people to encounter God, get saved, and all of that, but we also add to it, like, okay, there's more here that every day and every part of my life begins to be a part of my mission and my purpose and what I'm contending and going after. And it's actually, it's exciting and freeing for leaders, and gives us even greater purpose.
And I think it's about ownership at some level. I think that as leaders, I think we can look at pastors and say, hey, they're supposed to have a heart for their city. But wherever you are as a leader, there has to be a sense of ownership and responsibility for your city and the people mm-hmm. in your city. And that whether you're in business, whether you're in education, whether and however old you are, that we begin to think with the bigger picture, that the Lord's put me in this city, and I need to really believe God for this, that ultimately we want to see this city healed, and that I have to take responsibility for that. And it's, you know, I mean, one small illustration would be, if you're going to live in the suburbs, you have to still have a sense of ownership and heart for the inner city. Mm-hmm. Or these type of things where I've got to see the bigger picture, and where I'm at, it is about ultimately seeing cities restored and healed. Yeah. And I've got to have a sense of ownership about that. I'm not just here making money. I'm not just here teaching a classroom. I actually ultimately am part of something that God's doing in the entire city.
Yeah, it's a bit daunting to think, you know, to have faith for a city or a city being saved, a complete entire city being transformed. And it's a bit, it can be overwhelming, and I think kind of can even just, you know, have people default to like, oh, someone else will take care of it. Or like, how am I going to make a difference in a city? You know, I live in Chicago, I live in Sacramento. But it's just that thing of taking ownership, and wherever you are, I worked a
I worked a lot of different jobs just out in the community before working
in the cornfields.
Oh, come on, no.
Katie, you've told a story about cornfields in Indiana.
I did. That's for another time. I did work in the cornfields of Indiana. But, you know, in the various jobs I held, I would think, you know, I felt insignificant. I felt like, oh, what am I doing to impact this city being in this position? But it's just taking ownership for the small amount that you've been given and just being faithful and knowing that that is making a difference. You're changing the 10-foot radius of where you're at. That is carrying, you know, that's carrying something, and that's influencing, and it's leading to the bigger picture, like you said.
Yeah, and ultimately, you're part of a team. Yep. None of us are called to change cities by ourselves. So yep. If we think what we're doing, like you have to, that's why I think owning the bigger picture, that mm-hmm. you actually get your eyes up and look around and go, there's a lot of people in this city that have a heart for this thing. I'm actually part of something bigger. I'm part of a bigger team.
Yeah, and I think if people can understand just how significant they are, that actually then it doesn't become this lonely journey of I'm just out here just trying to do the best I can, but it's actually recognizing that actually as the church, as the body of Christ, we're called to be the most visible thing on the face of the earth. But mm-hmm. all the while we don't understand how significant we are and that sense of who God's called us to be, wherever that might be. And in fact, beyond just the walls of the church, then we're going to remain invisible. But our call is to become visible. And our cities need us to become visible.
That's a good word.
Yeah, I mean, you look throughout the Bible, too. I mean, there's so many great stories of and examples of God changing whole cities. I mean, you look at Nineveh, you look at Nehemiah and rebuilding the wall. Like, it looks different each time, or, you know, how things were in ruins or how things were begin, you know, to be restored looked differently. But the end result was people were encountering God. There was a change in every realm and government and, you know, in the business structure and every area. And it happened because, you know, in most cases, people that would have been counted off as maybe insignificant, they weren't the president, the king, whatever, but they began to seek God. They began to have faith for that city. And then strategy and change began to come out of that. And God did what would seem impossible.
Well, our heart and prayer is that as a leader in whatever realm you're in, wherever you find yourself leading, that God would really give you faith for your city and that you'd begin to own the bigger picture. You'd begin to really get strategy. The Lord would move you into prayer for this type of stuff. And that ultimately you'd begin to think like that. Like, we want to see cities restored and healed, and we want God to be able to really show up in a significant way there. So we're going to be going to a message clip right now from one of our friends, Chris Valentin, who really has a heart to see cities rebuilt and actually spoke on this topic.
And Philip in Acts chapter 21 says this, verse 8, on the next day we left and we came to Caesarea and we entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who is one of the seven, and we stayed with him. Here's where I'm going. I'm taking you on a little bit of journey. How do you transform a city? Like, if you were the broken, if you were Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, like I was, and you were depressed and you were discouraged and you were captive and you were broken, and Jesus came into your life and you're like, I am changed. What do I do now? And God says, I want to send you back to help restore your city. I want you to be like Adam and Eve, and I want you to cultivate the Garden of Eden that's in you so that garden can be a garden around you so the people can partake of the fruit of your life. And you're like, I don't know how to do that. And here we have Philip. We have seven, actually, young men, but Philip is one of those, and it says this in chapter 8. It says there was persecution, and people were scattered, verse 4. And therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to a city of Samaria, and he began proclaiming Christ to them. And the crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was being said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. Do you realize, two chapters earlier, he's waiting on tables. What's he doing? He's a man full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and he's waiting on tables. Do you know that your seat of servanthood becomes your throne of destiny? You're like, what am I supposed to do for God? Well, if you don't do anything else, wait on tables. Just do something. How many of you know that Jesus said, go and make disciples? He didn't say stop. I had someone Facebook me today and said, I'm just waiting on God. You shouldn't be waiting on God. God said go. You have a green light unless there's a red. The norm is green. Like, the light is normally green. Are you with me? I don't know what to do. Just do something. The disciples all had one thing in common. You know, some of them were tax collectors and fishermen and all kinds of different things. But all had one thing in common when Jesus found them. They were all working. Just go get a job. Do something. Wait on tables. Go to McDonald's. See if you can get a job. Say, I'm studying to be an evangelist. What are you doing here? Well, Philip started this way. He was waiting on tables. I'm wondering if I could get a job here. This is a good word. He's waiting on tables in one scene, and the next scene, we see him down in Samaria, and he's preaching the word, and signs and wonders. Look at this. And the crowds with one accord were giving attention to him, what was said by Philip, and they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. By the way, it should be do and teach. Jesus said this in John 14. He said, if you don't believe me on account of my works, then believe me on account of my works. Because the works I do are not me, they're the Father working through me. And how many of you know, next verse, and greater works shall you do when I go to be with the Father. Sometimes we just need to shut up and work. Just do something no one can do without God.
This summer, Jesus Culture Conferences are coming to Minneapolis, Los Angeles, and Atlanta. We're pressing in to believe God to transform our cities. Come with us as we travel to three cities in America to seek God and encounter His love and power. Speakers will include Reinhard Bonnke, John Gray, Scott Hagen, Russell Evans, Banning Liebscher, and more, with worship from the Jesus Culture Band, Brian and Katie Torwalt, Christine DeMarco, and Derek Johnson. Register today at jesusculture.com/events.
We are very pleased to inform you that your name has been added to the Dean's List for this term. You are among a very select group of students, and as a result, the Dean of Leadership Development has some very valuable information he would like to share with you. We applaud you and extend our congratulations to your family. Keep up the good work. This is the Dean's List.
Hey, welcome back to this segment of the Dean's List. At Jesus Culture, we're all about encouraging leaders at all levels. And in this podcast, we've been talking about faith for your city. And one of the things we've most enjoyed about being in Sacramento is what God is doing among the pastors and churches. If you'd like to get a glimpse of what God is doing in Sacramento, I want to direct you to a couple of sites. The first one is leadinginthesetimes.com. Leading in These Times is all about uniting Christians and churches and pastors in the Sacramento area and using their unique gifts and God-given passions in order to see a regional move of God. At Leading in These Times, you're going to find 11 revival focuses seen throughout history that we are using right here in Sacramento to see a move of God sustained here. The second site I want to encourage you to take a look at is the Acts Group. You can find that at actsonline.net. And they exist to mobilize people to be strategically engaged in their communities and their cultures through prayer, service, leadership, and church planning. Check these sites out. I hope it'll encourage you as we ask God to increase faith for our cities across the nation. Until next time, that's all for the Dean's List.
Well, it's that sad time again. Get your tissues out. We are closing this part one of the JCLP.
This is when you finish the last bite of that Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yeah.
And realize you can't have the second one for another couple weeks.
Who waits a couple weeks?
Listen, you know what? I got to say, we're always going to this last part of the podcast, and Becky is literally giving us in here the correct way to say Reese's. Because she watched a documentary or something.
Yeah, well, I'm smart.
How do you say it officially? How is it not said?
You don't say Reese's. It's Reese's.
Reese's.
Yes.
I'm sure you give us some interesting fun facts, but we'll maybe do that later.
Yeah, later, for another time. So thank you so much for joining us on a rousing episode of the JCLP to the tens and
20s. Thank you.
All 52 of you listening, thank you.
And we will say, for all of you international podcasters, send us pictures. Let us know
where you're at.
Go up Twitter. Tell us where you're listening to.
Yeah, yeah, having a spot of tea, listening to the JCLP.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Playing a little footy.
It's footy. Another time.
Go to, and they can follow us and check us out.
That's right, at JSC Podcast on the Big Three. There's Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are always posting fun things, so check us out.
Are we on MySpace still?
Yeah, absolutely.
Somewhere?
Instant MSN, Instant Messenger. Yeah. And you can check us out online at JesusCulture.com/podcast. We will see you in a couple weeks.